We're ready. Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and open up the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Thank you very much for the understanding of a late start. As you know, today is the day that we need to complete the work for bills that we have assigned to our committee that are going to be moving forward. So what we're going to do, we have four work sessions. We're going to do two of the work sessions right now. Then we're going to recess, and we may be coming back before the 10 o'clock hour is over on one of the two bills. I don't think the other one's going to be ready to do something then. And for colleagues, it looks like we may try to get everyone back somewhere around 2:30. It looks like everyone has potentially the ability, depending on what your 1 o'clock's. Senator Cruz and I are in a 1 o'clock, and we don't know if we'll be done, but that's what we're looking at. If
there's a few amendments on that bill.
Yeah. And if we don't get through all that, then there may be something that needs to be kicked into a ongoing discussion and work group.
Mr. Chair, just for your knowledge, I do have a 3 o'clock human server.
Yeah, I got a 3 o'clock, too. Okay. This is a window if we can get there.
Cool.
All right, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session. On the first one we're going to do is House Bill 4066. And let's see, that one is...
Would you like a summary, Chair Przanski?
Yeah, why don't we just let everyone know what 4066 is, and then we'll go ahead and go with the amendments.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, this is your drone bill, the UAS bill, and we are looking at the A-12 amendments today, which clarify that you cannot circumvent civil actions or a crime of invasion of personal privacy through use of a drone.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash A-12 amendment into House Bill 4066.
Senator Cruz moves the A-12s into House Bill 4066A. Any discussion on the dash A-12s? Not seeing any objection to the A-12s. So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4066A as amended by the dash A-12 amendment to the Senate floor to do pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 4066A as amended by the A-12s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I think we've found another perennial issue we're going to be dealing with for the rest of our lives.
yes, I think you're correct. And as we kind of look over our shoulder and watch them buzz us and watch.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it would be helpful if the FAA kind of figured a few things out on their level as well. So,
but they're Congress and everyone else over there, so I don't know if we should hold our breath for that one either. All right, any other comments for the feds? Any other comments for the bill? If not, any objection to the motion to move House Bill 4066A as amended by the A-12s to the floor with a due pass recommendation? So ordered. Looks like the chair will be buzzing this one as one of the work group people. We'll close the work session on 4066A. And now we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 4074A. And
Thank you, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. This is House Bill 4074A. We heard about this a little bit yesterday, so I'll be brief. There is no revenue impact, and there is a minimal fiscal impact. This essentially fixes an unintended consequence of House Bill 2320 from the 2015 session, and it also provides some guidance to the juvenile courts on who can obtain, who can look at and obtain copies of juvenile court files. There's a dash 2 amendment, which just clarifies what documents submitted to the court for a hearing on sex offender registration should be provided to the parties to that hearing. And a dash 3 amendment, which allows juveniles adjudicated in another U.S. jurisdiction to make their initial report in the county of their residence, either to a city law enforcement, state police, or a county law enforcement agency.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the dash A-2 amendment into House Bill 4074A.
Senator Cruz moves the dash A-2 amendments into House Bill 4074A. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash A-3 amendment into House Bill 4074A.
Senator Cruz now moves the A-3 amendment into House Bill 4074A. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4074A as amended by the dash A2 and the dash A3 amendments to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz now moves House Bill 4074A as amended by the A2s as well as the A3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections?
Mr. Chair, just one thing. This clearly is a cleanup of what we have done, and this is our continued attempt to make sure that young people who make mistakes aren't branded for life.
All right. So. Yep. Thank you very much. And any other comments? Any objection to the motion to move House Bill 4074A as amended by the A2s and A3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation? So ordered. Senator Cruz, I'm hoping that you'll be willing to carry. And that will close the work session on House Bill 4074A. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to take a recess. We're going to stand down. It's approximately 9:15. And what I think is going to happen is a couple of the members are going to have a discussion with maybe a couple invited individuals to look at a couple of the bills. What we're going to do, and then I will come back if we are not able to, let's say, reach some conclusion for the bills or bill this morning, then give other, let's say, notices of what might be happening this afternoon. So with that, we're going to stand in recess, and I'm going to say for 15 minutes, so 9:30, so we have a start time again. Or we could just stand down. Let's do that. Okay, we'll do that. And that way everyone can leave with comfort knowing that they're following those two bills, that they can come back and be assured we won't be doing anything before 9:30. And at this point, what I will tell you, the bill that I think that we may be looking at moving this morning, where the other one may need additional work, is the House Bill 4073 is the one that we're going to work on right this moment, and then we'll see if we can't maybe do some magic for 4067. So with that, Jeff, why don't you and I and Whitney and you will go talk on that. I can't, you know, we can only have two members due to the quorum issue. So if y'all could stand down or be back here at 9:30, that'd be great. So there we go. All right, good morning. We're coming back into order from our recess. It's about 9:31, 9:32. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and work House Bill 4073. So I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 4073. Whitney?
Thank you, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. This is House Bill 4073. We've already heard some information about this bill. It was brought to us by Representative Greenlick. There is no revenue or fiscal impact. House Bill 4073 simply amends existing law to allow secular organizations or officiants of secular organizations to solemnize marriages. There is a dash 3 amendment. The dash 3 amendment adds current members of the Legislative Assembly to those able to solemnize marriages. The dash 3 also directs the state registrar to not require an address for those authorized to solemnize marriages. It is ready to move today if you are so inclined.
All right. Senator Cruz?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, my concern with this, quite simply, was dealing with the potential civil liability of a member of an organization who is choosing to solemnize marriages and that member does not want to, or an organization itself that fits in the category but chooses not to participate. And, you know, what I'm looking for here is what the potential unintended consequences are. If, you know, for example, I'm a member of the Elks in Roseburg, and they decide they want to get into the marriage business because they need the revenue. Okay, and so that organization decides to solemnize marriages, and that's well and fine, but as a member of the Elks, I choose not to. Am I subject to liability because of that? or if the Elks organization, because the one in Eugene does it and the one in Roseburg chooses not to, do they, are they subject to liability? And what I want here is Whitney put on the record what the civil liability that could potentially be incurred here is.
Thank you, Chair Brzozinski, Senator Cruz. I think there's two parts to your answer. The first part is this bill originally and isn't changed by the law, isn't changed by this measure, provides that a person who is a member either of a secular or religious organization can only perform marriages if they're authorized by the organization. And so you as a member of the Elks or whatever organization just simply wouldn't ask that organization to authorize you to solemnize marriages. And since you're not authorized to solemnize marriages, the bill doesn't apply to you whatsoever, and so there isn't any liability. The second part, I think, that comes in is this measure doesn't change any existing law. It doesn't create any new civil rights of actions or criminal liabilities. So, for instance, people who are currently, we heard a lot of testimony about members of the Universal Life Church, where they go really quick online and pay $20 and can do a marriage for their best friends. Under existing law, there's no law saying once I get this certificate and marry my best friend, I have to start marrying everyone. And likewise, this measure doesn't change that. It just broadens the group of people who will be legally allowed to solemnize marriages. It doesn't create any new obligations on those people.
So, Ms. Chair, so for example, we adopt the A3s and I can now marry people. And I choose to marry my best friends, but because I haven't put out a shingle saying that I'm in the marriage business, I'm under no obligation to do anything else, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that, to me, this is basically says that under the threes, I don't think it's an A3.
It's just the threes.
The threes would basically expand who would be authorized to perform weddings in the state if they have been authorized either by a secular group, and in your case and our case as elected state officials in office, and I say state officials, legislators, I think is what it's limited to, we would have that authorization, but there would be nothing that would require us to perform a wedding for anyone coming up and asking us to do their wedding unless we have put out, this is a service that I'm providing to the general public. Whitney, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so basically you'd be free, just like anyone else, to say, I've got friends I like to marry, but I'm not going in the marriage business, so I'm not obligated to marry anyone else unless I choose to do so. And I think the real part here is if you had a secular group that was basically saying, we're now in the business of providing wedding services, the full meal deal and everything like that, and they're advertising out or opening themselves up to the general public, then they have basically placed themselves in a position whoever comes to their door would have the right to be married if they're basically saying we are a full service operation as compared to one that says, you know, we've authorized someone to do this on a piecemeal basis or something like that.
That's correct. It's similar, just again, I think the Universal Life Church is a good example because people are so familiar with it. And so, I mean, for example, my husband just became a member of it to marry some of our coworkers this summer. People aren't going to start showing up at our front door for him to, for
well,
him
you
to marry.
Hope not.
I would hope not. I would be taken aback. But, you know, the measure isn't creating any new obligations. It's just bringing in new people that are allowed to perform this if they so choose. And again, if you're broadening yourself up to the whole community and advertising your services, you've taken on different legal responsibilities than if you're just helping out a friend and doing something private that's not for the general public.
Senator Thatcher.
Chance? Oh, sorry. I was under the impression that you would have to belong to the organization in order to use somebody in that organization to marry you. So I'm hearing people from the general public could ask a member of that organization that's, you know, saying I'm, you know, we're here, we're prepared to offer marriage services. Is that not correct?
I think there's two parts to that, and Whitney, listen to this. My understanding is if you had somebody that came up to a friend of your, or let's say they came up, well, I'm not going to use your example because as a legislator, if you had a friend who was part of the Elks Club, and being a secular organization, they wanted that individual to marry them. That individual that's being requested to do the marriage could go to the Elks Club that they belong to and ask to be authorized by that organization to perform weddings. If that organization agreed that that person would be sanctioned by their organization to carry out weddings, then that individual who's been authorized by the group would be able to perform weddings. Now, going back to that example, their friend who approached them to see if they would marry them, instead of going through the Universal Life Church and getting something online, has now got authorization through, in this case, we're just using the Elks Club, they would have the right to marry that couple who asked them to marry them. The issue, and to me, there'd be nothing that would be obligating them to marry anyone else unless they chose to do so. But if they then, after being sanctioned and authorized by the secular group, posted on the web, put ads into the newspaper, I perform marriage services, then you're now holding yourself out to the general public, just like anyone that provides services or goods to an individual on the general public, and then they are now going to be potentially liable if they chose to discriminate against someone for whatever reason and refuse to provide that good or service, in this case, the marriage, that they have held out that they would provide to anyone who came to the door.
That's correct. That's my understanding as well.
Okay, and so if they change their mind and say, okay, I've been in this marriage business for a couple of years, I don't want to do this anymore, they're not advertising anymore, but they did advertise.
Right.
And so somebody has this ad and they're like, oh, I want to go there. And then the person says they no longer do it. There would not be a sanction.
I do not see where there would be any obligation that would occur if someone has taken the steps of not performing weddings anymore to the general public and they took the steps to, I'm going to say announce, but somehow demarcate that they're no longer doing that. And but then if they turned around and start doing it again, in the sense of reopening themselves up, and someone who was denied in that window when they said they weren't doing it could potentially bring a cause of action, whether they'd be successful or not would be a matter of fact. I mean, clearly you could have someone that says, okay, I'm out of the business, I'm not going to do it. 2 years, 3 years later, you know, maybe I can make a little more pocket change. And they say, okay, I'm going to do it again. I think they have the right to re-enter into that field without having those obligations. But that's one of those fact-based scenarios that you just have to have it in front of you to determine whether or not there could be some type of liability. But in general, I'd say no.
Yes, I would agree with that, unless there was something like, today I perform marriages and tomorrow I don't, and the day after that I do. That might start seeming a little suspicious, but you know, people have a right to choose when they are in the marketplace and not in the marketplace offering services, and this doesn't change that.
And what if they're only marketing to, well, in your case, the example is being used, the Elks Club, if they're saying any member of the Elks Club will marry, or, you know, we'll offer the service to anybody in the Elks Club. Does it have? Can that be allowed to just leave it exclusively to that secular organization to perform the service to members of that organization?
Yeah, I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a secular group could say we are authorizing a member of our group to have the ability to marry people within our group, our members. I don't see.
I again think that would be fine. Again, this not really broadening anyone's liability. You know, I think there's certain religious organizations now that only perform services for members of that religious organization, like baptisms or marriages or funerals, and that's certainly allowed and lawful. And so I think the same would apply for a secular organization if they just said, we're providing this service for people who adhere to our principles and are a member of our organization.
Yeah, they meet membership. And I think the other part to this, Senator Thatcher, would be if you had an individual who had been authorized by a secular group, just like a religious group, here's the parameters of what we're authorizing you to perform or who to be able to perform a marriage for. If that individual decided on their own to marry someone outside of that guidelines, clearly the secular group, just like the religious group, would be able to deauthorize a person from doing that. I don't know in the sense of the if you actually carried out a wedding when you were unauthorized to do that, I guess that's a legal issue that the courts would have to decide on whether that marriage that was performed was valid or not. But
there's actually a statute that I'd stumble across that says if two people enter into a marriage with the presumption that it's a valid marriage and validly solemnized, then that's not a basis that the person wasn't authorized to solemnize the marriage to void it. So I think they already covered that.
All right.
I guess I would feel more comfortable if that was expressed in the bill. There's been times where we express something on the record and years later things will go the other way.
Well, I think we're setting a record right now as we speak. I'm not sure what we'd put in to cover any particular issue. What is specifically would you want to try to put codify that's not already discussed?
Like the dash, is it the A5s or the
fives? A5s is actually sets up what I would consider discrimination and trying to protect someone who is discriminating based on their belief of somebody. And that's not, one, I don't think we can do that. Number two, I don't see how we authorize someone to discriminate. And I think that there'd be a challenge, if not at the state level, on the federal level, as to trying to say someone's going to have some type of legal protection from liability when they're outright discriminating against an individual based on race, color, sexual orientation, whatever it may be.
I certainly agree that the dash fives in their current form are too broad and are pretty subject to being challenged probably on the state and federal constitutional level, especially given the U.S. Supreme Court's opinion already applying the Due Process Clause in the 14th Amendment for the right to marriage. So I think that would be the difficulty in this is to try to draft language that would pass constitutional muster, and I think that would be really difficult to do. It's hard for me to imagine what the language would be. And again, I don't feel a lot of concern for it being necessary, given that, again, this isn't changing the law as far as people's liabilities to perform or not perform marriages. It's just allowing more people to do it. And also, as I think we heard some testimony about, possibly correcting some federal constitutional issues. I know there was some discussion about whether this violates the right of secular organizations or people who are non-religious to have marriages solemnized in their own manner. And there was that Seventh Circuit case that was referenced. But putting that aside, I don't see when it's just leaving existing law in Oregon, but saying this extra two groups of people can also do the marriage, that it's necessary to kind of go down a path that could cause a lot of problems.
Mr. Chair, I always look for unintended consequences, you know that. That's part of our job here. But as I'm reading this now, and as I think what the record will show is that for anybody, for you, because you're talking about potentially doing a ceremony, basically any individual or organization who is not putting themselves out to the general public as being in the marriage business is not going to incur liability simply because they choose to marry their best friends or whatever. So So from that perspective, I think I'm comfortable at this point.
Okay. Yeah, and then that's my interpretation as well. And so with that, I would take a motion on the dash threes.
Mr. Chairman, the dash three amendment into House Bill 4073.
Senator Cruz moves the dash three amendment into House Bill 4073. Additional discussion?
Just that, you know, I'm getting older, and when I decide to retire from the farm, this might be a nice income stream. Who knows? So.
Except it's only current members of the Legislative Assembly.
Okay, there may be a flaw in my plan.
All right.
And I don't support
That's right.
I'm sorry.
I don't support the amendment.
Okay.
Just for the record.
All right. So anyone else objecting besides Senator Thatcher to the introduction of the dash three amendment? Not seeing any. So ordered. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, move House Bill 4073 as amended by the dash three amendment to the Senate floor. If you pass the recommendation.
Senator Cruz now moves House Bill 4073 as amended by the dash three amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
I'd be opposed.
All right. No discussion. Objections. Senator Thatcher's objecting. Anyone else objecting? So order. Motion does carry.
I would suggest Senator Gelser carry it. The dash three is reversed.
And dash, would you like to be doing that?
I'm happy to carry it, but I know Senator Hayward worked on the bill, and I wouldn't want to.
So what we're going to do is we'll set a carrier. It's going to be either a backup will be Senator Gelser, if not one of the other members. And I do want to put on the record before we get off this, it does have a clause in here that does apply to us as elected officials. I did not believe it was necessary for any of us to actually note a potential conflict of interest because it's for the whole class. And I just want to put that on the record as to why we did not need to put that potential conflict, because there's not a conflict since it applies to all legislators who are actively serving.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd also point out that let's say you're going to marry us. This is, we don't have necessarily an economic gain in the fact that we're included as well. So.
Right.
And I would assume that a member of the legislature would not be able to advertise and charge for these services because that would be an economic benefit derived from service in the assembly.
Yep. I think that's true, too.
Yeah. I'll put on the record, I have no interest in performing marriages for anybody.
Excellent. With that, we're going to go ahead and close the hearing, work session on House Bill 4073. And at this point, what we're going to do is we're going to recess the committee, and I'm going to say recessed until 2:30. By then, we'll know whether or not we're going to be performing any miracles with House Bill 4067A or not. So those who are interested in 4067A, please stand by until 2:30, and we'll take it from there as to what our next course or steps might be. With that, we're in recess.
Oh.
Good afternoon. We're coming back out of recess for the Senate Judiciary Committee. We're here to take up a work session on House Bill 4067. So I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 4067, and I'm going to ask Chana to please bring us up to date as to where we're at as to the discussions that occurred since this morning.
All right. Senator Przanski, members of the committee, we had a very productive work group meeting this morning right after committee and came up with what is before you today, the A-17 amendments. The A-17 amendments remove legislators as permissible people to report to. It requires attorney disclosure to be in connection with the violation and in further pursuit of legal services. So you can't just go to your neighbor, the attorney, and disclose this information. It needs to be in connection with the violation and for getting legal services. It does not allow redisclosure or disclosure at the direction of the employee. That would remove your ability to get the affirmative defense. It removes the defense if the information is stated in either a commercial exclusive agreement between a public or nonprofit employer and the commercial entity, so long as it's not related to employment, and also for commercial non-disclosure agreements. It clarifies that federal law disclosures, such as HIPAA, still apply. This does not preempt federal law. And it narrows nonprofits that are affected to those that are receiving public monies. And it clarifies the limit on calling a person who is on a nonprofit board an employee.
All right. And when we had this work group, Representative Bueller wanted to put something on the record, and I did not write down exactly. I think it was on the employee and the board and board of directors. Is that correct? Because I can wing it if that's what it is. And I know we have some of the people that are in the room, and that's a shaking of the heads of up and down, meaning yes. So basically what we wanted to ensure is that in the definitions for this particular set of statutes, it defines what an employee is, and it has a very limited definition and specifically says for the purposes of this section of law that a board member is identified as an employee only because it will give more smooth transition for how the statute reads. It does not make them as an employee because they aren't an employee. There never was an employee. It's just the term of art that's being used. I think that's all I needed to say. I'm getting nods.
Mr. Chair, if we need to be more explicit, that could be handled in the floor speech.
On the floor, so. But I also told him I would do that here, and we will make sure we got it. But it sounds like we've pretty well covered. Is there anything that we forgot? If not, then what I'm going to do is go ahead and ask for a motion. Do we need to probably do the suspension first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of adopting the Dash A-17 amendment to House Bill 4067 without the fiscal and revenue statements.
Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules to allow for us to consider the adoption of the A-17s into House Bill 4067. And it is for the purpose of considering the adoption of that amendment without having the paperwork that normally would accompany an amendment for the fiscal as well as the statement of revenue. Any objection to the motion to suspend the rules? Not seeing any, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash A-17 amendment to House Bill 4067.
Senator Cruz moves the adoption of the A-17s into House Bill 4067. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Nice work by the folks today. It was nice that we could all come together in such a short period of time.
I agree. Any other discussions or comments? Any objection to the motion to adopt the A-17s into House Bill 4067? Not seeing any. So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4067A as amended by the Dash A-17 amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 4067 as amended by the A-17s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, I just also want to echo the work that was done today. Just to see everybody work together in that way was very inspiring. It's a great bill. And thank you for bringing everybody together.
You bet. Thank you. And I also want to take a moment to thank everyone that's in the work group this morning, and also with everything that has been going on around this bill in the last 48 to 72 hours. I know that it's been a long haul, but I'm glad that we were able to get everyone together, get the consensus that we needed to move forward. And thank you very, very much. That's, I think, the intent and purpose of having work groups, having those individuals that may have vested interest as to maybe opposing each other, but being able to sit down and really come up with what works for everyone to move forward. So thank you very, very much. Any other comments? Any objection to the motion that's before us to send House Bill 4067 as amended by the A-17s to the floor with a due pass recommendation? Any objections? So ordered. And I think, Senator Gelser, you'll be the carrier on
this
one. And with that, is there anything else that we need to do, Chana?
No.
And I would like to thank our staff of Judiciary for all of the hard work in this very short, very intense time.
Yes.
We don't have everyone in the room, so those who are in the Judiciary offices, thank you, thank you, thank you. And for those three that are here, Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And Mr. Chair, this is a nice way to end for the session. I mean, this is very good work.
Yep.
So,
well, thank you. So we're going to go ahead and adjourn, and as we adjourn, we may be having some informational hearings in the next few days.
Next week.
So it looks like we'll recover this week, and we'll look at next week. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you. Week, and we'll look at next week. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you.